Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
If you would, go to the New Testament to the writing of Luke, Luke's account of the gospel, the first chapter and the 68th verse. I want us to draw a launching point, if you will, from that passage of Scripture as we move in a study presented before us. And I do want to thank Brother Gary for leading those songs that were by request. I want us to look at the word redeemed. But as I'm thinking about that first one, sweet is the song I'm singing today, I'm redeemed. That is a wonderful thing that you and I as Christians, dear friends, we can sing redemption song over and over again, the chorus prolong, as another song of the songbook says. And then, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a wonderful thought that Christians get to enjoy, but sadly those outside of Christ don't get to enjoy. Those that are not within the safety fold of Christ, they're not faithful, don't get the blessed thought of redemption. Notice here, this blessing we see in Luke chapter 1 and verse 68. The Bible said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." You look up the word redeemed, we'll have a definition along the lines of this: to buy back, to give something in exchange for. We were redeemed from sin in the simple fact that Jesus Christ bought us back from sin. We were under sin's control, but He redeemed us. He bought us, and since He has full possession of us, we are His servants. We wear the yoke of Christ, and thankfully, dear friends, Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 and through 30, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I want us to look at that phrase, redeemed, or that word, rather, redeemed. You do a keyword study in the Bible, some 62 times you will find the word redeemed in the Bible. 55 of those are in the Old Testament. That means your remaining 7 are in the New Testament. And I want us to look, we've already looked at one of them. I want us to look at 3 more times it appears in the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, sometimes it really has the idea of buying something back physically, redeeming for a price. But I want us to look at redeemed and ask 3 simple questions tonight. And our first question is, we are redeemed from what? From what are we redeemed? Go with me to the book of Galatians, if you will. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13. What are we redeemed from? The Bible says that Christ hath redeemed us. There's our key word. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, and that's from Deuteronomy 21:23, that cursed is every man, or every one, I should say, that hangeth on a tree. From what have we been redeemed, dear friends? The simple answer is the curse. That curse of sin. You know, we learn from Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 that sin separates you and I from God. It puts the sinner in an unpleasing state in God's eyes. But Jesus Christ, right here, Christ hath redeemed us. Not them, us. It is attainable for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Go back to verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So we become cursed or cursed when we do things God tells us not to do. Or when we don't do things God tells us to do. But thanks be to God, verse 13 is, in there, Christ has redeemed us from the works of the, or from the curse of the law. Number one, redeemed from what? The curse. Number two, by what are we redeemed? Well, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. To put it in context for you, as Peter writes, of course, we have 2 epistles of Peter, and it's thought maybe Mark might be Peter's account of the life of Christ, but no, two writings of Peter. And 1 Peter addresses the problems the church would face from the outside. And second, Peter's the problems a church will face from the inside. Apostasy, falling away of its members and the like. So notice here in verse 18, he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So number one, from what are we redeemed? The curse of the law. Number two, by what? It's the blood of the Lamb. Oh wait, we just sang that in the song. Do we not redeem by the blood of the Lamb? But notice here what he says in verse 18. It's not by silver and gold. Dear friends, we can't be bought back from sin with earthly things, with material blessings or material possessions. That won't happen. But only by the blood of Jesus Christ as that precious Lamb who died upon the cross for my sins and yours. We're redeemed by His blood. So then that leads me to our third final question, which is logical progression. We're redeemed for what? What is my purpose then in being redeemed? Flip back just a few pages to Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. You got to go through Thessalonica. You got to see what Paul said to Timothy. And then you wind up there in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. For what reason am I been redeemed? Watch this. We have the word Savior Jesus Christ at the end of verse 13. He's still talking about Him in verse 14. That's the who of verse 14 is the Savior Jesus Christ. Gave Himself for us that He, Savior Jesus Christ, might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Why have I been redeemed? To serve Him. I have been redeemed, dear friends, so I don't have to look like the world, so I don't have to talk like the world, so I don't have to think like the world, so I don't have to live a worldly life. See, Christians are to be peculiar, to be different, to be set apart. God doesn't want us to blend in the world. Christians are to be different. God has always called His people, Old Testament and New Testament, to be different from those around them. See, we have been redeemed from iniquity. And redeemed so that we can serve Him. I like that word redeemed, don't you? See, as a Christian, I enjoy these benefits. But as I mentioned in the introduction, not being a Christian, you don't enjoy these benefits. But the good news is, Christ is willing to redeem anyone at any moment that meets Him on His terms. The gospel truly is for all, and that gospel invitation truly remains open for all.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And glad to have you along with us, dear friends, as we continue reading the Word. Now, this is program 147. We've been talking about being redeemed. And if you want to listen to this program again in its entirety, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. From there, you'll find them arranged by episode, air date, I should say, program number and air date. We'd love for you to send those to someone you know or love. So maybe you want to catch it again on your own term. Here are the ones before it and after it are all online. Absolutely free. You never charge you a dime for any of this. Since the program is simply titled Reading the Word, I just want us to end our time that we have allotted before us today simply reading God's Word. And I want to do that in the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew. This is the conclusion of Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount. And I'll be reading from the King James translation. Jesus says in verse 1, "Judge not, that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, Then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, of whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which coming into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out many devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then shall I to profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now that's the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. I know we just read the final chapter, but notice a couple of key things there. We are better if we only judge righteousness. Somebody may be struggling with something. They may not have handled that the way I would have, but we are only to judge righteousness. Jesus says that in the 7th chapter of the book of John. We know we are told to ask to God in prayer, and asking, he hears if we ask in accordance with his will and if we're faithful to what he has commanded. He uses a great example there. Men are wicked. And if a wicked father knows how to give his son or his daughter what they ask for, then how much more shall our perfect, pure, holy Heavenly Father, won't he know what to ask, or won't he know what to give us, rather? That's why we're told to ask, we are told to seek, and we are told to knock. I find it interesting, that idea of knocking. In Revelation 3, verse 20, the picture is painted. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. We sing that song by way of invitation, Who at the Door is Standing. I always think of that. Jesus talks about the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He says there's only one way to heaven, not many, but one, and it's a difficult path, but it is rewarding. He says false prophets, sheep, or wolves in sheep's clothing are coming. You will know people by their fruits. If they are living a wicked life, yet saying they're doing good, they are trying to deceive you. He says you cannot try your own way to please him, but those that do the will of the Father. And then he closes out with what we use at Vacation Bible School. The wise man built his house upon the rock, but the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Maybe we can close this program by singing. I won't make you sing it with me, but that's always what goes through my head when I close out Matthew chapter 7. And it looks like we're getting ready to close out this program, dear friends. Appreciate you being with us here on Reading the Word. We hope to do it next time, same time, same place. Once again, readingtheword.net. You can click on the radio program and hear it all again. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and may he keep you. Have a good day, and please Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.